The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's the cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and our producer. How you doing, Liam?
I'm doing good. I'm hanging out.
Good, buddy. You got a haircut, huh?
I did get a haircut. Yeah.
The stash should be good, I'm telling you.
I want a stash, man. I just...
I mean, that would set the whole thing off.
I'll try. I won't shave it for a week.
Just shave it a lot. Shave it every day, okay. And then it'll grow.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
At least that's what I'm told. We are broadcasting live from KCNR Studios. This is Jefferson State of Mind, KCNR Downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, in 1460 AM, your talk radio. And you can listen live on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and we are archiving also. 10 minutes after this program is over, you can go to the programming for KCNR, go to Jefferson State of Mind, hit on the archive, and kaboom, you're there with this program within 10 or 15 minutes after it's over. Anyway, we are here this morning with my partner, Wynn Carpenter. How you doing there, Wynn?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
Doing good, man. Doing great. Wynn just came in. Wynn came in with the wind.
Yeah.
Just blew in. We are here with Patrick and Lori Jones. How you two doing?
Very good.
Very good. Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning. What's your little dog's name?
This is Red.
Red.
Red's cute.
Now, how old is Red?
8 weeks old.
Oh, Red's a puppy.
He is a puppy.
Oh, man. He's so quiet and reserved for a puppy. I thought he was just a small dog.
Just a little Queensland heeler. So he'll get, 45, 50 pounds maybe.
Oh.
Somewhere in there.
What does he weigh now? About 5 pounds?
Too much to hold.
Too much to hold?
No, he's probably about 10.
The problem with the dogs that are little and then get big is they get to a point where they still think they're little and they get on your lap. They still think they're little. Of course, you have that problem with Gracie.
400-pound lap pig.
Patrick, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm great. It's a good day, and we're going to have a good week next week, and looking forward to Tuesday's meeting. And it's good.
And so, folks who are listening from out of the area, Patrick Jones is the chairman of the board of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors and one of a lot of people's heroes in saying, no, we are canceling, not discontinuing, but canceling the Dominion Machine. You want to talk a little about that and some of the other things that are happening in Shasta County?
Yeah, and so, over the last year, we've really been watching closely this machine, the machines that we're using here in Shasta County, but also throughout the country and elsewhere. And a lot of these machines, they have proprietary software and so many different machines. In fact, even here in California, the California Secretary of State has decertified at least 20 machines, 20 voting machines for being fraudulent and vote flipping. And we only have a few machines left. Dominion is one of them. The majority of the board last month canceled the contract for Dominion because of the error of the Register of Voters with regards to an issue in Shasta Lake City. There is a special election that's ongoing. And so March 7th, when that is completed, and as soon as thereafter, then the Dominion voting machine for Shasta County, that contract will end. So we have ended the contract. We didn't want to end it for this special election for Shasta Lake City because it was already ongoing and it could create some legal issues. So we allowed that. Now, the board will most likely have a discussion on February 28th, so not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. And Kathy Darling Allen, our Register of Voters, will be at the boardroom, and we'll have some discussions. And exactly what we will be discussing is a little bit unknown, but I'm sure the question will be asked, are you going to switch to another machine, or you're going to hand count, or what is it that you're going to do? And so that discussion will come up pretty quickly, and I'm looking forward to that as well.
Well, I bet she has some results from that survey that she sent out to everybody.
Well, and there's a variety of different issues that we'll be talking about with regards to, you know, like this $1.5 million grant that was recently received, and that casts a shadow just at the time that we really need to restore trust with our voters, not only in this county but elsewhere. We get this money coming in from outside sources with, you know, heavy political ties. And so
Zuck bucks, is that what you're talking about?
Yep, the Zuckerberg bucks, $1.5 million to be exact.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll be talking about that. And some letters that were sent out of county by our ROV, we'll probably be talking about those. And some trips taken out of county by our ROV. So we have a lot of things.
It's Maricopa County down in Arizona.
A variety of things.
Yep. And we're paying for that.
So we want some details, and so it should be a good meeting on the 28th, and looking forward to that. And I have gotten a lot of calls from people all over California saying you did the right thing getting rid of the machines. The proprietary software that they use can be hacked. And, in fact, this week, that lawsuit with Dominion and Fox Network, even some employees of Dominion are coming out and saying exactly that wow. It is riddled with problems, and the system can be hacked from outside sources, which is exactly
what. Are they current employees of Dominion?
Yes.
Okay.
And so they're whistleblowers.
There you go.
And so we're getting that information, and we've known that for a while, but now it's nice to see that even people that work for Dominion.
Yeah, you're getting affirmation of what you already knew. Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting that the only machines that are certified by the California Secretary of State have proprietary software in them. And anybody that has non-proprietary software, the Secretary of State will not certify those machines. And any county can do it on what's called a pilot program. And they choose a system, maybe it's a hybrid system or whatever, and they submit it to the Secretary of State. And as of yet, no system other than a few proprietary software programs have been accepted. And what I find amazing is that that over 90% of the machines have been determined to be fraudulent, but yet these are okay. And it's a big lie, and people are, you know, these things are proven to be, 100% safe, and you got elected, so what's the problem?
Right.
And so we keep hearing those excuses. My issue that I brought up, and I think it was very valid, and I, of course, just disagree with the ROV on this point, is that Shasta County residents have spent, we were going to spend a full $2.2 million for the Dominion voting machine contract over a five-year period. Now, we won't pay all that because the contract will end in March. Mm-hmm. But what I'd asked is that if I'm going to purchase a system, you're going to need to prove to me that it can't be infiltrated from outside sources, hacked, if you will. And they said, no, we don't have to do that. You have to prove the fraud. And I'm saying, no, if I'm purchasing something, you're going to need to,
you're going to need
to prove to me that it's safe and secure, or I'm not going to buy it. And that's what we did. We're not buying it anymore, cause you're not willing to prove it. And we've asked that many times from our ROV that you need to show us that these can't be manipulated. So my concern is whether we've had fraud or not isn't the point, that you don't let yourself be vulnerable for whatever could happen in the future. And that's what I think these proprietary software systems can represent. And people are saying that now. I even have liberal groups from the Bay Area calling and saying the exact same thing.
Wow.
That Dominion is vulnerable to outside interference. You did the right thing, and now you have to take a look at your options. And we have, you know, what's nice for Shasta County, being a small county, is we have more options than, say, you know, other counties that are larger.
Like Sacramento.
Correct. And so with only, you know, a little over 100,000 registered voters, we have a variety of different options. It does not have to be electronic tabulation. Now, we do have to satisfy both state and federal laws with regards to people that are handicapped. And many states in our union do hand counting and satisfy all those requirements, and they don't do it electronically. So there are a variety of different ways, and again, I think our ROV is being misleading, telling folks, be it on TV and on the radio, that we have to use an electronic system, and that is not true. If you use electronic system, it has to be certified by the Secretary of State, so there's a little bit of misleading information there. So if we do use an electronic system, they do need to approve it, but you don't have to use electronic tabulation. And so we're going to be exploring all those things. And the whole point of this exercise is that we're trying to restore trust to the voters. And again, this is another point where me and the ROV disagree. She thinks she has the trust of the Shasta County residents. The majority of people feel that these machines are safe and secure. But yet, anytime you do your own poll, stand out in front of any supermarket in town, or a variety of them, and talk to 200 people, and you're going to get 80% of them that say, we do not trust electronic voting machines.
Well, she is spending an awful lot of money, private money, in wanting to prove to the voters that that she isn't guilty, but no one has said she is really guilty, other than the fact that and again, you go back to this grant, you go back to this $1.5 million, $2 million, with all these different position she's trying to state on the legitimacy of what she's doing and the legality of what she's doing.
Well, and I think I'm going to put out a call to the Trump Foundation and see if I can get $1.5 million into our election office with that organization, possibly. Maybe they would free up some cash.
Yeah, I got to do the spinoff of Zuck Bucks.
Well, but that's exactly the point, is that you need to have a neutral ROV,
right.
And clearly Mark Zuckerberg is not neutral. His friends and alliances are not neutral. Their policies that they create based off of this money coming into different ROVs is clearly going to shape different policies towards one group or another, and it just simply casts a dark shadow over our ROV office in a time where we need to be restoring trust. And I think the majority of the people are not going to be happy with this. And you dangle the carrot out there, $1.5 million, but certainly look into it deeper, and you will always find the truth.
Well, keep in mind, too, that was offered to 100 counties nationwide. And then of the 100 counties, 10 counties were selected, 2 counties in California, Shasta County and Contra Costa County.
Exactly.
Contra Costa is blue.
Right.
So Shasta County is essentially red. So why would they do that? Why would they offer it to Shasta County, knowing what the political climate is here?
Well, and didn't someone already thought they were going to take the money, one of the counties, and then pulled out?
They did. Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll have that discussion, too, because the board does have to approve that. So if the majority wants to do that, they could, or if the majority wants to do something different, they could, and we will be discussing that on the 28th. And, but the idea here is that when there has been so much problems over the last 2 years, and distrust, there are methods to do things that you can show that nothing has occurred here and nothing will occur here. Here's what we're doing. When the Secretary of State of California decertifies at least 20 machines, saying they've been fraudulent and vote flipping, that clearly should get people's attention.
You would think
that most of the machines have been hacked, and in the California Secretary of State in 2018 put out a memo talking about the national 2020 election or 2016 election, saying that we have had outside Russian interference. And that the White House is continuing to ignore these threats, this warfare, as the California Secretary of State has called for it, and that it's continuing ongoing, and we're going to spend $134 million to increase our cybersecurity. And that they felt that the 2016 election was hacked. And that statement came out in 2018. Fast forward 2 years, and we have free and fair elections, and it's a big lie. that that any of this talk of outside interference is a big lie. But yet 2 years earlier, they had said it exactly. And what it shows is that hacking has been occurring for quite some time.
Absolutely.
But when you don't like the results, then you go after it. If you like the results of what occurred, then it's a big lie that nothing's occurred. And that's really what it looks like.
Yeah. Terry, wasn't there, was it one of the senators, someone that came forward saying how they were giving almost a 75% reduction?
Yeah, we
to
had
use
heard
the,
a friend of mine who
Dominion.
Ran for Senate of the United States had made a comment that there was a 75% discount if you got the Dominion machine over the others. Now, I don't know whether this
Well, we're already paying $440,000 a year to use the machine with that contract of 2.2. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are we, 2 years into it?
I believe so, yes. Yes.
Yeah, so the
save $1.2 million in the next 3 years.
Yeah, so the comment was made, and then my question was, well, why is it that the Secretary of State was willing to give a discount on this machine?
Yeah.
Now, I haven't heard that totally and officially that it's in a particular court case or not, but the information is pretty reliable. But I've got a question about Kathy Darling Allen. She had stated that a forensic audit is illegal. I'm trying to figure out how that could be illegal. I know it's admissible in court, but I'm trying to figure out how that would be illegal. And she did make that statement at the board. So
she did. And again, if you go onto the California Secretary of State website, you will see that audits are lawful and they do call for them. We have asked for them, and I'm not sure if that's what we need, but we want to look at everything. We want to look at the envelopes. We want to look at the ballots. We want to look at, you know, the electronic tabulation. We want to look at all these things, and we want to bring a variety of people in to do that so that we can show everyone that we have a free and fair election, and that would restore trust. That's what I had suggested to do, and no success. That was highly fought back on, and so we're not even attempting to show the public that these systems that we're using here in Shasta County are free, fair, and safe. And I had not had any concern until, you know, when I started really watching in detail in the last couple of years, and specifically the June 2022 primary. There were things there that really looked wrong that should be looked at. When you see something that doesn't look right, you want to look into it, right?
Right.
When your gut but more than just a gut feeling, when you see physical things happening, you really should look at them, and that would again restore trust with the voters and saying, here's the explanation for this and this, and and really go through things from top to bottom, because that's, to me, that's the only way we are going to restore trust, and it's still needed. And I do believe, I am hopeful that eventually we will get to that, one way or the other. We will restore trust with the voters and show that we have free and fair elections, and we're not being infiltrated from outside sources. And I think electronic machines are a big part of that. You know, and when you take a look at all the other electronic processes throughout the United States and the world, every one of them has been hacked, from the FBI to California DOJ to pipelines and held for ransom to Sierra Pacific to your bank, you name it, every system out there has been hacked. And so to say that Dominion is unhackable, you're going to have to prove it to me. And so far, no one has.
Yeah, you know, the thing about that, too, is that Kathy Darling Allen, who's our ROV leader, was someone who was defending that machine almost to the death. She turned around during her comments to the Board of Supervisors, turned around to the audience of the people, because there were a couple of sighs and things like that, and started chastising the people in the audience over the fact that that you guys wanted to get information. I mean, I think she even went as far as to say that Dominion didn't really have to come in and give you any kind of explanation on anything. I want you to comment a little bit on that, and then I also want to let the folks know that you can call in at 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, if you have a question for Patrick. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the last meeting, a couple meetings ago where the ROV did come to the board and where we did cancel the Dominion voting machine contract. She had quite a few different statements. Some were directed at the board and some were directed at somebody else for whatever reason. And I think one was even directed at you, Terry, a personal attack.
There was.
Typical.
She made a lot of statements like, if somebody comes in from out of town that is an expert and they charge a dollar to cover their airfare, that they're not credible, things like that. Well, personally for me, I do a little research. I listen to what they say. I do some analyzing of the information and data, and then I determine whether someone's credible or not, not if they've charged a dollar amount to cover their airfare. And so on the same token, when Kathy Allen goes to Arizona, and someone else pays for that airfare, should people in Arizona discredit her for not being credible because she did not pay for her airfare? Because most of the time when she goes somewhere, she does not pay for her airfare when she went to Chicago or Arizona, and should we call up those places and say disregard whatever she said because she didn't pay for her own airfare? I just find that comment very rude. We've had some really good experts take a look at Shasta County. We've had some national attention after the successful recall of Leonard Modi, and they've volunteered a lot of their time and energies, and occasionally they have charged, you know, when they've spoken to cover their airfare. But most of them have done it because they want to get to the bottom of it, and they're very excited about Shasta County because a small county. For these experts, they can get to the bottom of things very quickly.
Right. And, right. Now, what happens if, okay, she doesn't like audits. What about the financial audit of the department? I mean, she's got to have a company card, I'm assuming, right? Because she's a department head, so she goes on these trips. Are we, the county taxpayers, paying for it, or is somebody from Chicago, Arizona, elsewhere, are they paying for it?
Yeah, and I do not know the question to that. And, again, on the 28th, those are some of the things I'm sure that will come up. So I don't know.
Somebody might. We've got Mark Baird, Mark Kent on the line. Mark, can you weigh in on that a little bit?
How's it going, guys?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, I just have a question for Patrick. Morning, guys.
Good morning.
There's an open house coming up, putting on by the County of Shasta to invite everybody to the elections office in Veterans Hall to see how our vote is counted. And I just kind of wanted to get your opinion on that, and I'll take it off the air.
All right, thanks, Mark. Yeah, and it's no surprise. It's the day is the 27th. That's Monday before the meeting that we have on the 28th, and it kind of reminds me of the purple postcards that were sent out by by some university saying that we have transparency and free and fair elections. Well, you can't send out a postcard and restore trust. That's not going to work.
Nope.
And just one day before the talk on the 28th, are you going to try to restore trust? So are you going to let us take a look at ballots, take a look at envelopes, let's take a look at electronic imaging, let's take a look at tabulation, let's look at all these things, because that's really the only way you're going to get down to it. And the bottom line is, when I put my ballot into a machine, I have to feel confident that that is being tabulated correctly, and I have no idea if that's the case or not. And we have lost trust with the voters. It's pretty clear. Half the country has lost trust with their own ROVs in whatever county that they reside in. And before this thing's over, I think we're going to see people rise up just like what we're doing here in Shasta County and want some accountability that we're not seeing. So a town hall meeting is nice, and that's a good start. But I think it's a dollar short and a day late to what really needs to happen to restore trust.
I can agree with you more.
Well, if I was the ROV, I would jump at the opportunity to say, here, yeah, let's look into this. Yeah. That way, I mean, how could you not?
How could you not?
How
right.
could you not?
And she's had 2 years
to do
it.
And there you go. Everything, this would be cleared up in a heartbeat. No more conversation. We'd be done. We'd be moving on.
That's right. And it wouldn't be such a colossal pain in the neck. Now, how about this?
And before, when, you know, we have some really good people in mm-hmm. the election department.
Oh, we do. Absolutely.
Some good hard workers. And yeah. so I don't fault anybody that works within the office. I think we actually have some really good people there that are doing the best that they can to ensure that.
Yep.
And so it's unfortunate that we have this other looming question that casts a shadow over the office.
Right.
Because we do have some good county employees there.
Well, now on that, when we're talking about the ballots, every ballot that we've seen at our house for the past, I don't know, couple elections anyway, I've taken pictures of all of them, and not one of them is different from the other. In other words, there are no scan code bars on there. There are no identifying numbers on there for each one of them. They are identical. So I could photocopy those and put it on the same paper and make sure everything's the same size and put the fold in it and do everything I need to do to cast, you know, multiple votes for any individual I choose to vote for. Now, I don't understand how this works out, because we used to get a tear-off tab across the top of the ballot, and it was an identifying number, and I used to take pictures of those. I still have those. And so I could tell that mine and my wife's and my son's and my mother-in-law and my daughter's, they were all different, and you could tell that they were different.
I bet your house has a lot of clutter, doesn't it?
Nope.
But you're right. But unfortunately, you know, some of these things are California issues. But, you know, just like Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, mm-hmm. You know, he has patented programs to take a look at the paper, just to,
right.
on your point, if somebody is copying, that you can take a look at the actual fibers within the paper to see
right.
if they're ours. You can take a look at the ink and see if it's done by a human or a machine. There are lots of techniques out there to help ensure that those things aren't occurring. And, you know, for example, just so many different little things that add up to
correct.
To we could possibly have a problem.
And just one of them could be an issue, let alone a handful of issues.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
You know, like the security of the ballot boxes, is the back of the building on election night, is that, you know, safe and secure? Do we have people walking in and out of the ROV
office? In the downtown alley of Reading, right?
Correct. And when asked for the
public alley.
Right, a yes. public alley where there's no expectation of privacy, and
right.
we ask for the video, and it's like, nope, can't see the video. Again, so we're not saying anything occurred. We're just saying if you wanted to be open and transparent, show us the video, show us that nothing weird is happening. But if we start seeing people walking freely in and out of the back of the ROV office, then you might have a problem.
Well, and that's part of the forensic audit that we're looking at, because forensic audits will call for things like that. It's not just the money part of it. It's the whole kit and caboodle, and that's what we're after.
Yep, and I guess they're just not illegal, are they? Anyway, we've got to go off to our first break here. If you have a question or comment after the break, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and time has come.
451.
Listen, for this body of mine, that's to have that girl and her love so fine. She touched my head, and what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
It's the Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Justice is one thing you should always find. You got to saddle up your boys. You got to draw a hard line.
When the gunsmoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Woo!
Yeah.
Break out the whiskey.
You missed the whole song, Terry.
The trivia to this is Elvis was a twin. And what if it's Elvis and our good friend, the number one Willie Nelson? What do they have in common? That's a secret. Getting back to our program here.
Terry is referring to the only joke that I can remember, and I did get it right when I told it. I usually mess it up.
But. Yeah, you did get it right. It was quite good. Anyway, I thought you'd enjoy that. So anyway, we're here with Patrick Jones, chairman of the board, of Supervisors of Shasta County, and his lovely wife, Lori. And again, if you have any questions or comments, 605-4567, 530-605-4567. And when we left, we were talking about the issue of some of these, of forensic audit or some kind of audit. Now, a forensic audit is legal. How does she come up with a comment like that? How does somebody come up with a comment like that?
And I was kind of poking fun at Kathy a little bit when she said, you know, if you would just Google and my response was, you want me to Google to get my information? And, I'm not going to do that. But
how about election code?
But I did Google, California Secretary of State, and you can get their website, and there's a lot of information on there and various links to various things, and you can see all the electronic machines that are used in every county in California and some hybrid versions thereof. And then they talk a little bit about some of the things that have been going on. And so I did Google and got the California Secretary of State. And you can get a lot of information, off of that website and learn a little bit about what they do and what they don't allow for voting systems. And they don't show everything on there. Just for example, like if you Google – can you use or can you hand count in the state of California? You will not get an answer. They're not going to give you that answer.
So the answer is yes. Because if it was no, then they would have no, and they'd have the citations of why.
And the problem, as most people know, if you just use Google, you're going to get a heavily slanted,
right,
heavily slanted a variety of information.
Mm-hmm.
For example, is there any fraud with voting machines? And absolutely every one of them say all the experts are not credible and it's a big lie, as long as you're talking about 2020.
So that's a yes.
But if you talk about 2016, you barely find any of that information because there was absolutely fraud in that one too.
Yeah.
And Russia did hack, and there was no question about it. And, you know, and most of the time they're taking a look at, you know, the five key swing states and certain counties within.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty scientific as to what you would need to get over the hump. And in a lot of these states, it's a small amount of votes that will change the election. And those are the areas that they focus in on.
So they look at a red county like Shasta, and they dangle the carrot of the money, and they want us to go down that path and get sucked into that wormhole of, yeah, we're good, and then they can flip it on us. That's what they're hoping for. But
And I think here, and again, I'm not saying that there's any fraud. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we need to prove that our systems are fair and
correct.
Free. And my gut says that they can't do it.
Right.
And that's what I'm feeling. And you know, again, when you look at that 2022 primary, I see some things there that really do need to be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep pushing until eventually we get that done some point, whenever we get enough support to be able to do that, and to prove that, that it was free and fair in every aspect. And, you know, I've had many talks with Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, and the way he described it, he goes, you know, these folks have been at it for a long time, and they don't cheat just in one area, that there's a variety of different areas, and there's a goalpost, and they just simply need to get on the other side of the goalpost. And so it would be nice if they would just cheat in one area all the time. He said, that is not what you're going to find.
Yeah.
And also,
they don't cheat every time.
And they don't need to cheat every time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they purposely don't. There's all kinds of things that have been going on for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And the real reason on the national stage that they don't really want to dive into things, because there's going to be people that shouldn't be in certain places, you know, from congressmen, senators, to possibly right up to the president of the United States. And how are you going to fix that, right, when you've had that type of outside interference? And I do believe it's happened. But we're on the right track. We've got a great board. You know, I'm really excited about this year, not just for being chairman of the board, but we have some really good board members that have a sense of urgency that want to get things done.
Well, you're actually getting stuff done.
We're getting stuff done, and we're asking questions that weren't asked before.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to not give our authority away in many cases. And just because things have been done this way for a long time doesn't mean that is the best or the right way to do
right.
it. And so I don't think there's going to be any part of Shasta County government that we're not going to be reviewing and scrutinizing, because really that is ultimately our job. And we would like to leave this place better than the way we found it. And
absolutely.
I think the majority of this board has that you know, mentality.
Some other commentation that I've heard says that there's this mistrust simply because you keep saying, you, Chairman Jones, is you're creating this mistrust by you saying, I don't trust. They're not looking nationally at things, but they're just trying to put this back
yeah,
on
Kathy,
you.
Yeah, you know, and again, that last meeting, Kathy Allen did say that the board was responsible for some of the mistrust with the voters. And it's like, it's not the board, Kathy. It is the register of voter. That's your job.
Mm-hmm.
We're asking to do things to highlight and shine a light on things where there was darkness, shine a light on them to prove that it's free and fair and have nothing to hide. And so she's complaining now even at the board for her indiscretions.
Well, then she just needs to come up with the legal, viable, legitimate responses to your questions. And they need to be right. They need to be accurate, 100% accurate. She needs to come up with those answers. And to date, she hasn't done that.
Right. And I, you know, the opportunity is there. And she had also asked, you know, how come I didn't call her before the last meeting when we had the Dominion voting machine on. Well, she certainly was aware of it, and contact with the county was made to her. But this was a contract that the Board of Supervisors had previously appointed, and we have new supervisors, and so I wanted to bring that up. It isn't really an issue for the ROV. This is a thing that the board approves, not the register of voters. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Right.
And so it really didn't concern her. Now, if a representative, Mr. Bennett, wanted to come forward from the Dominion organization and try to, again, explain why these machines are so wonderful, that I certainly would have put and allowed on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
He was nowhere to be found. And the last time he was in this county, I didn't care for him much. He was
very defensive,
accusatory, and just an all-around unpleasant person that I know Kathy is friends with. And Leonard Modi was, too, by the way.
He got a campaign contribution from
it. Was small, but it
it
sent a loud message as to how come you're very friends with a representative from the Dominion voting machine.
Right.
And Mr. Bennett has a history going all up and down California. If you really dig into that, you're going to find just what kind of friends that he has.
Mm-hmm.
in our state's capital to at least 40 different ROV offices, and what trips does he send people on, and various other activities. And again, if you just dig deep, throw the Google part of your computer away, you will find a lot of truth, and you probably will be disappointed in what you see, unfortunately, because it usually comes down to money, and that seems to be such a bad thing, you know, without scrutiny. And you know, one of the failures here is that without having quality reporters like we used to have that really would dig and get to the bottom of things. This kind of stuff goes on city after city, county after county, without people really digging in, and all the facts are there. You just connect the dots, and then you'll have the truth, and just some solid reporting. We need some of those old-time reporters back doing their job, because we certainly don't have them anymore.
Well, everything's hidden in plain sight, and that's the thing. They'll sprinkle it out in front of you, but then if you don't have enough of the history or knowledge of what's going on, then you can't put all that stuff together. But if you do have some people that are actually doing some digging and being legitimate about it and asking the real questions and getting real answers, then they can put that puzzle together, and that's that is the problem.
In 2006, when I had just first got elected, a sex scandal was occurring at Reading City Hall, unbeknownst to me and probably most of the most of the council members at that time. We had a reasonable reporter at that time, Scott Mobley, that actually did his job, and he had to sue the city of Reading to get the emails to prove the depth of the sex scandal, and it went right up to the top.
Of course,
and people were fired and terminated over it, and a lot of loss of dollars, of taxpayers' dollars, for not working, you know, and doing their jobs and doing other
things,
illegal things at City Hall. That's the kind of reporting that solved you know, a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But without those types of reporters, is that happening today?
No.
Who would know?
Yeah.
Right. And so you do need good reporters. And, you know, and that's why one of the pushes I think that I'm going to push for this year as well, that we have a lot of Freedom of Information Acts that have come into the county more than normal. And I don't think most of them are being answered correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see and I will make an effort to start seeing more of those responded to correctly.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to hide anything.
Right.
And, you know, obviously when we have labor negotiations or things like that, there are some sensitive information in that regard. But a lot of this other information I'm willing to turn over, and I think the majority of the board, given this opportunity, will. So, you know, I'm excited about this year for just a whole host of different things. You know, and I think we're going to end up having a better county for it. And again, next Tuesday at 9 a.m. at 1450 Court Street, we're going to have, excuse me, not 9 a.m., it's 5:30 p.m.
Yep.
So this is, I put 4 evening meetings, and this is actually our first evening meeting. And I did that because it gives a whole different group of people an opportunity to come speak to this issue.
Sure.
And the big issue for this agenda, there's a few agenda items, but the big one is the Second Amendment resolution.
Mm-hmm.
That was crafted here in Shasta County by the local chapter of the California Rifle and Pistol Association. And so it's gotten some, again, some attention. And I'm hopeful that we'll pass a good resolution that the entire country can be proud of.
Yeah, and I know at 10 o'clock, Sovereign Minds is going to have Mark Baird on. So Mark Baird will be the guest at 10 o'clock. He'll be talking about a Second Amendment fundraiser that we're going to be having with the, about the court case that he's engaged in, one that we actually could win. And I'm going to read this really quick. This is a legal fund to restore the Second Amendment rights and open carry in California. It'll be March 11th, 2023 at the Anderson VFW Hall. That's 3210 West Center Street, Anderson. There'll be, doors will open at 4. There's a no-host bar, dinner at 6. Chris Kellstrom will be the master of ceremonies, and the catering will be by Rocking Peas Barbecue. It's $300 for a table. That seats 8 people. There are $200 in raffle tickets that you get when you get your table, and there'll be great prizes. There'll be guns, great prizes, lots of good stuff. We need people to fill that room because this court case is one we can win. And, again, Mark Baird will be on the next program. Now, Sovereign Minds at 10 o'clock.
You can buy single seats too, right?
You can at $40. You can buy a single seat at $40.
Yeah, and Terry, of course, I'll be there. My wife, Lori, will be there. Our whole team will be there. This is about as important of a fundraiser that you want to ever be involved in.
Exactly.
And for March 11th, it's at the Anderson VFW, and we really do want everybody to come out and fill that thing. We can take about 300 people. And if you want to mail your check in, you can mail that into Pecan at 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, 96003. And, you know, this one, we have a chance of winning this and making a substantial difference, not only for California, but for the entire Ninth Circuit. And so this Mark's done a huge thing here by putting himself out there, risking his life and his fortune. And we would like to show here in Shasta County that we're going to do our part to help him be successful.
Well, and people can come from any county to participate in this event. Any county. It's not just restricted to Shasta County. Okay, Terry.
Yes, Mark. How are you, my friend? You're on the line. You've been holding for a while. Sorry about that. It's kind of hard to see this little sign they give us that somebody's on the phone here, but we do have a yellow light in here that is blinking, and we're glad you're calling in.
Okay. I understand for the bulk of the program you're talking about, you know, some pretty important things, so I didn't want to invade that space, so to speak. But I just a couple of things. The case itself now is in the federal court for California in the Eastern District. And, you know, we're talking about the integrity of the systems that protect our liberty, the integrity of the vote, the integrity of all of the systems, really. And the courts are one of the most important systems because the courts are the peaceful and lawful way to exercise our First Amendment right to petition the government for redress of grievance. And if the courts don't have any integrity, then what are the people to do? And we're finding that in the federal courts, especially California's Eastern District, because they are the majority of the judges there, quite frankly, are simply Democrats with a black robe on. They hate liberty. They hate everything we stand for. They don't pay attention to the Constitution. They don't follow Supreme Court precedent. They do basically whatever they want. And this judge is no different. And so while this court winds through the process, and the latest thing the judge did was she kicked the can down the road, in her expression, almost a year, and because she wanted the state to have plenty of time to hire lots of experts and professors and historians to discover laws that were commonly held in 1791 that restricted the right to open carry. And in fact, she conflates this as a restriction. Well, there were laws that restricted the right to open carry, and that's an intentional misstatement because, quite frankly, what we're challenging is not a regulation on open carry. We're challenging the ban on open carry.
Right.
And there were no such bans in 1791. In fact, there never have been such bans until the 20th century, with the single exception of banning freed blacks after the Civil War in some districts, and a couple of states that tried it, or a couple of territories that tried it, and as soon as they became states, the court set them aside.
Now, Mark, you're going to be on the next program at 10 o'clock, yeah. Correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, great.
So I'll cut to the chase here. So what we've done is we've appealed the preliminary injunction to the Ninth Circuit Court. The lower court erred in so many ways. She failed to look at the likelihood of success on the merits. She failed to consider the cause of action. She failed to consider case law. And so we have a really good chance if I can afford to pay for this. And I'm so grateful to you guys and Patrick and Lori. And they've done such incredible work in the past raising money for this lawsuit. I just can't thank you all enough. And please support this. If you want to restore liberty in California, let's start with ourselves. Let's start with the liberty to defend ourselves without government permission. And when you think about California, ask yourself, how many things can you do in California without some form of government permission? And I think self-defense ought to be the primary most important one of those things.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Okay, folks, if you want to help Mark in his court case, you can mail a check to Pecan 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, as in boy, Redding, California, 96003. And in the memo portion of your check, you need to write 2A. It's very important that you put 2A in the memo portion of your check. We need things donated for this particular event as far as...
And make the check out to Pecan.
Pecan.
Yeah.
And make the check out to Pecan. I didn't say that, huh? Okay. So, anyway, getting back to Patrick, we've got a few more minutes here. This Second Amendment meeting, the Second Amendment resolution that you'll be hearing on February 21st, do you want to elaborate a little bit on that and give us a little bit of background on that before we go?
Yeah, so this thing has been 2.5 years in the making, and it has come before the board a couple times. And the tenacity of the local chapter of CRPA has been nothing less than stellar. They have pushed for this and pushed for this. And in fact, I even did some radio and TV commercials saying when I was running for the supervisor board back in 2020 that this resolution was submitted and not a single board member has moved it forward. Mm-hmm. And so now, as chairman, I was very pleased to be able to have this new revised resolution that the CRPA has certified in Fullerton. That's the headquarters of CRPA, has certified this resolution. And it is on for the 21st, a night meeting, starts at 5:30. And, you know, and if we get the majority of the board to approve it, we will have a successful Second Amendment resolution. You know, one of the big things on it that is a big issue to me is who has the authority to make the determination if something is unconstitutional or not. Now, for all board members, we have sworn to uphold the Constitution of the State of California and the U.S. Constitution, and the U.S. Constitution supersedes all others. And what our legal advice is saying is that the State of California will determine what is constitutional, and that, and since you're a subdivision of the state, that you will abide by what the state says. And I say poppycock. That the State of California right now and the State Supreme Court, California State Supreme Court, says that you do not have the right to keep and bear arms. And that is in direct violation of the United States Constitution, the one that I am sworn to uphold.
And the California Constitution.
And the California Constitution. So where do we draw the line? And we have to fill that gap. When you have a government that is clearly tyrannical, you know, I'm not going to go by the state. If I believe that it is unconstitutional, I have a moral responsibility to do what's right and stand in that gap and stand on that line. And I think we're going to be doing a lot of those things this year. I think we're going to have to.
Right.
The state has clearly gone beyond what is constitutional, and we're going to have to take these things back one county at a time. And so I'm disagreeing with our legal counsel. He's saying listen to the state. And no. If anybody thinks listening to the state that your life is better today than what it was and constitutional, I would say I would just differ with that greatly.
Yeah.
And so that is the fundamental problem that we have with this resolution. It says you will abide by the Constitution of California and the United States and hold that oath, you know, sacred. And so we'll be discussing all aspects of the resolution, and I'm very hopeful that it'll pass. And maybe there might be some minor tweaks that we might change. Maybe not. That's up to the majority of the board.
Mm-hmm.
When you take a look on the resolution, it is online now. It is there written in its entirety, and then you'll see our legal counsel do some strikeouts, which is a red line in the center. And some additions, which is in red with a line underneath. And you can either agree with those or disagree with those. And you can see our original resolution and the strikeout and changes that they are proposing that the board may or may not do.
I have a quick question, too. On the agenda for the board, who has the ultimate say on what is presented as the agenda in total?
I do.
The chair does.
I do, yes.
The chair does. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I had that clarity. Okay.
Patrick, I want to say something else. I had someone the other day come up to me and said, well, all this political things, things that are happening, and things against our Constitution. And they said, well, what are we supposed to do? I just can't do anything. I just throw my hands up. And I was thinking, you know, down the road, your kids or your grandkids, and when they say, well, wow, when did we lose that freedom? When did we lose that right? When did we stop fighting? And I want to commend you because you are, and this whole room, you guys, and a lot of people I know are now standing up so you can proudly say down the road, I didn't just throw my hands in the air.
Yeah.
That I did do something, whether you win or lose, you did something to try to make
right.
a difference.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, out there listening right now, I know some of you don't think you can make a difference, but each of us does have a lot of power. For myself, I was able to get myself elected, and that started things. Mm-hmm. Look at Supervisor Kellstrom, Supervisor Cry, Supervisor Garmin. All of these guys put their time and energy out there, and we are now affecting change.
There you go.
Well, Patrick, Lori, thank you so much for today, and thank you, too, for everything you do. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Amen.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.